Good evening. My name is Matthew, and for those of you who don't know me, and it's great that we can be together tonight. And although we might be a little bit small in number tonight, the Lord is with us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you do promise to meet with us, and thank you for your living word that we find in the pages of the Bible. We do pray that you would help us now to have the priorities of the Lord Jesus as his followers as we live in this world. Father, may we please you in all that we say, do and think. Amen. Well, in 2010, I don't know what you were doing in October that year, but about 1 billion viewers, they say, around the globe tuned in to watch 33 trapped miners in Chile's Atacama Desert come up to the surface, and there's a picture of one being embraced by his father. The story is that the miners were trapped 700 metres underground in the mine called San Jose for 10 weeks. This is Jimmy Sanchez being greeted by his father as he's brought up to the top. In fact, it was only when the miners realised that they were going to get out of the mine that they started to send up their prized possessions, like a soccer T-shirt signed by Pelé, the soccer legend, rosary beads that had been blessed by the Pope. One miner trapped below managed to propose to his girlfriend, and she accepted that, and their relationship continues to be a very deep one. Another rescued miner said this: often something has to happen to you before you stop and think and understand that you only have one life. And then you think what you have to change. One life. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? What's going to be the most important thing right now? And Jesus tells us in Mark 1 the priority of his mission, his call for those who would come and follow him. It begins there in Mark 1, and really for 18 months, the first six chapters of Mark's gospel, it's about him bringing good news to Galilee, good news from God. A message of rescue, of hope, of calling people to make a decision. Get your life and line it up with God's purpose. Line it up with God's priority, the gospel priority. You see, when we come face to face with these words from Jesus in Mark 1, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news, and then he says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of people. All of a sudden, you face that wonderful prospect as Christian men and women that God has a wonderful agenda for your life. You hear Jesus' words proclaimed, and maybe like that miner who's trapped metres below for weeks on end, it seemed to them. You realise you only have one life, and then you think what you have to change. I wonder what it would look like if we took those words from the Lord Jesus to heart and gave each of us our one lives to them. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Come, follow me, says Jesus. But what is the gospel? If our one life is going to be committed to this, what is it? What am I going to sign up for? Jesus, you're recruiting people for your mission. What is this good news we are supposed to give ourselves to? I mean, who likes hearing good news? I mean, we all do, don't we? And another human being coming along, maybe close to us, giving us some good news. The trouble's over, the threat's over. Now, what about God? What about when he says, I've got good news for you? That's what we've got right here in Mark 1, verse 14. Just have a closer look at it with me. It says there that after John was put into prison. That John person is John the Baptist. Okay, so he's the one who's been preparing people for the king. It says, after John's been put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And there's just a map of the region. I hope you can see it okay, of the region of Galilee. Jesus has been baptized in the River Jordan. He then goes into the wilderness for 40 days. He comes back into that region of Galilee, and after John was put in Herod's prison. So the Son of God is announcing good news. The good news of what? What is it? Well, it's of God. In other words, the news of the kingdom of God we are being summoned to commit our lives to is God's news. It's his news. In other words, it wasn't human invention. No clever person sort of thought it up. And what Jesus is doing is proclaiming it. He's the Spirit-filled messenger. At the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, the Spirit of God descends on Jesus, and God the Father is declaring his great pleasure in his Son. And so in Mark's account, in the life of Jesus, you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all there. And it tells us it's God's gospel, good news from God, that Jesus is proclaiming. So it's God news. That's the first thing. The second thing this good news is about is proclaiming God's time. God's time in verse 15. Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. It's God's time. The time of God's Son. The time promised by all the prophets in the Old Testament, foreshadowed by them. The time when all the expectations concerning this deliverer is coming to the fulfillment. God's time. And just as the time came for those miners to be rescued as they reached the top, so the time comes near, it draws near, of Jesus calling people who were stuck in their deep pit, out of being trapped in their sin and into God's forgiveness and favour. That's God's good news. In God's time. It's God's time when his Son will return, when Jesus will bring his kingdom, bringing everything opposed to his kingdom into submission. That day is one day closer today than it was yesterday. So today is the time to hear the good news of God and respond. For God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he has given proof to this to all people by raising this man from the dead, Acts 17:31. But for now, there is what? There is an opportunity to respond to God's good news, the time that God allows. And so the gospel, the good news, what is it? It's God's news in God's time. Thirdly, it's about God's rule. Verse 15, proclaiming God's good news, the kingdom of God is near. My family went on an outing with some friends to Darling Harbour, and at one point, waiting in the distance, we were on a floating pontoon and waiting for this ferry to come and pick us up in Darling Harbour. So we could see the ferry coming in the distance. We heard its horn blasting. We watched as it came nearer and nearer, and with a couple of minutes, it had reached the dock. The ropes had moored it. The gangplanks were out, and we were on board. And Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is approaching, it's coming into view. And as people first heard that, I mean, what were they expecting? They were really expecting and waiting for a champion to come and defeat Israel's enemies. Israel's Messiah was to come and fight the battles and bring in the kingdom of God. Israel would be restored, and then all the Gentiles, all the other peoples from all the other nations would come and worship in Jerusalem. What a glorious picture and future that was. But what happened? Well, we read in Mark's account, we find that Israel didn't recognise the time. Israel didn't see her Messiah. They didn't hear the good news being announced in Zion, your God reigns. In fact, they turned against Jesus, rejected him, crucified him on the cross. Which, of course, was God's master stroke. For in their rejection of the kingdom of God, in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, was in fact the way in which the kingdom of God was established on this earth. as Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God. People were seeing it breaking in, and ultimately through his death on the cross and rising the third day, the kingdom is established forever. And the king reigns eternally. And for all who repent and believe that good news, God's news, so we will with him. Which is another feature of this good news, that it is God's news in God's time about God's rule who summons people's response. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near, he says. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus calling people to come back, turn back, to change your whole attitude towards God. Change the direction of your life, line it up with God's priority, and make sure things between you and God are right. Okay? So that's the summons. Believe, not in the sense that I sort of believe certain facts or details, and I think this is true, and no, believe in that sense of a personal commitment, that personally I am trusting in this person that God sent into the world to be Saviour and Lord, so that his risen life might be given to me and you as new life, eternal life. He takes my old sinful life, he dies on the cross with it, and gives me new life through his resurrection, and enables me to live that new life by the Spirit that he gives. You want to trust that sort of news in that sort of person doing all that for you. Nothing about you, it's his kingdom. And you become subject in it as you live your life and obeying your king. And what does the king say? The king tells us to make disciples. He calls you and to himself to repent and believe. He calls you to do his will and make disciples. The gospel priority. We finished our training course a few weeks ago. For those of you that weren't here, we last few Sundays we've been doing a course called Just Start Talking, and we looked at at developing our story of God working in us and bringing us to Christ, and we looked at the difference between do and don't. That is, that Christian faith the Christian faith is a done faith. It's done in Christ, and we looked at how important prayer is in that course, Just Start Talking. And for those of you who were involved with it, I hope you found it challenging. And I think now the challenge is not just to start talking, but to just keep talking about Jesus, you know. We just sort of make a start somehow, somewhere. But how do we keep turning up and talking about Jesus as the Lord opens up opportunities, and to pray about those opportunities, to make the most of them, to be faithfully intentional about that? The time has come, says the Son of God. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So urgent today as it was then, now that Jesus has died, risen, and is coming back again as judge of the living and the dead. Well, the gospel priority therefore means that his people will join him in his mission. And you'll see it there in verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. So what's Jesus doing? He's on the watch. He's on the lookout for people to come and join him in his father's family business. Jesus is in Galilee. He's proclaiming good news of God, and now he's recruiting others for the task, isn't he? He's walking beside the water's edge in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus saw some energetic fishermen, the brothers Simon and Andrew, and no doubt he'd met them earlier. And now he's summoning them for a different kind of fishing, for people. You'll be catching people. And what's intriguing about this account of Simon and Andrew and James and John is they immediately left what they were doing. Simon and Andrew in the middle of fishing, catching the fish and the nets over the port and the starboard, and James and John, they're mending the nets, trying to fix them up. There's no argument. There's no delay. The Son of God calling them to leave their priorities, leave the boat, leave the office, the home and the family. Indeed, to follow Jesus, are you prepared to leave everything? Are you prepared, should he summon you, to give up everything? Family, security, and possessions. Such is the priority of the gospel. And what are we prepared to leave behind, to give up, so we can join the risen Lord Jesus in his mission of people becoming his followers, of making disciples? Jesus said, follow me, follow me. And what is he doing? Proclaiming the kingdom of God. Let me just suggest to you some ideas that you might want to think about as you follow the Lord, proclaiming the kingdom. Could you find another person to meet up with once a week, on a regular basis even, to read the Bible with and pray? How would that start? What would it look like? How would it work? God's word encourages us to let the word of God dwell in us richly. Would you say that it's doing that in your life? It would be a great thing to do, wouldn't it? And as a church, we want to encourage each other in God's word and in prayer. Here's another idea. Could you see the street that you live in and the block of homes as people for whom you're going to pray to hear God's good news? What doors might he open up? Could you invite someone into your home in your street for an afternoon tea or something like that, just so you can get to know them? What about this one? Could you learn and memorise with someone a simple gospel outline and practice sharing it together? That course that we did, Just Start Talking, there was an outline that you could use and adopt. You remember what it was? God, man, God. What if you don't? What if you do? It's all there in the booklet. You can sort of look at the detail there. A very simple way. In a few minutes, you could share that good news with the benefits coming to that person that could last forever. Why not work it up? God, man, God, what if you don't? What if you do? But just remember, the first 50 years are the hardest. Could you give, here's another one, could you give one of the youth leaders a ring? Or one of the leaders of the kids at MAC that we have here on a Tuesday, send them a text message to say to them, asking, what could I pray for you this week? And get some feedback and then do it. Or could you, after dinner, during the week, start reading the Bible as a family, if that's not happening? Or could you start a Bible study group at lunchtime with other Christians where you work? Just some suggestions about following the Lord in proclaiming his kingdom, about making and building disciples. As a church, we're doing this in a number of ways. And to sort of help us further with this, that discussion paper that Richard referred to tonight really explains a good problem that we have at the moment and how we can sort of follow through. And we hope to see more and more people hearing the news about the kingdom of God. It's about having the gospel as the priority and responding to that. In fact, church takes its shape and its DNA because of it. Jesus wants us to make disciples, to have that gospel priority. How is that priority shaping our lives as individuals and as a church? Perhaps for you, having the gospel priority is a bit unclear. You come to church, yet maybe you're not sure about following Jesus. And maybe you're not sure what the gospel is, what it means. It's very difficult, you'd have to say, to have the priority of the gospel when you don't really understand what it means. You've never really responded to Jesus, repent and believe. Well, the course Christianity Explored is something based on the Gospel of Mark, and not only would it be ideal to help you follow Jesus, it would also be great for someone who wants to sort of train themselves in how to share with others the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm suggesting tonight is that over some Thursday nights, not many but some, you could come here and be profoundly helped and help others as well. So there's going to be a pad of paper up the back about that. And come and speak to me about it, Christianity Explored. And it would be a good thing. What about that miner? Trapped 10 weeks underground, and he realised something, came to the top and said, you only have one life. And then you think, what you have to change. Let me ask you, what will it take for us to have the priority of the gospel being worked out in our lives? One life, that's it. And we're hearing from the Lord Jesus, our Saviour, given to us. He's saying to us tonight, calling us, repent and believe. The kingdom of God is near. The time has come. Follow me. Give yourself to me, he says, and you'll be catching people for life. The gospel priority. We're going to just watch a little trailer of the Christianity Explored course. And if you want to find out more about it, please come and talk to me, of course. I'm more than willing to do that and sign up. Before we do, why don't we just quickly pray? Thank you. Father God, we thank you for the words of the Lord Jesus summoning all of us tonight to follow him. And Father, we know that we cannot follow many gods or many things in life, but here is one that we dare not miss out on. Lord God, thank you for the kingdom that we can be part of and serve you in. Please build us in faith and call us into your kingdom, Father, that we might indeed be your disciples. Amen.
What's it all about?